Jeremiah 6, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, ye shall find rest for your souls. They said, we will not walk therein. As I watched over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken. I've had one thought in my mind all afternoon, and I started with this thought, and I tried to go a different way, and couldn't get away from it, came back to it again. The Lord kept turning me back around to it, and that's the song, give me that old-time religion. I kept coming back to this verse here. You've probably heard that song before, and it's good for my father, good for my mother. I never liked that song because it's old-time religion because it's good for my father and good for my mother. That's good. I'm not saved because my father and mother were saved. I'm saved because it's personal. So anyway, but I kept coming back to old-time religion. It's still a good thing, old-time religion. It kept coming back to my mind. I'm very thankful my parents did raise me in church. I'm not saved because it was good enough for my parents. Anyway, beside the point, the longer I'm around, the more I see, the more I long for that old-time religion. Those old ways, old paths. The more I long for the old days when God worked and people were willing to repent and get things right, I'm more concerned about the Lord than they were about themselves. And I think we're missing that a lot of times in our day and age now. I've heard stories all my life about those old style, the camp meetings and the revivals of the past and how people's lives were changed and hearts were stirred and people were coming and changing, doing something for God. And I long to see that. I feel like we don't see that in our day. I miss that. That song that Natalie sang on my mind today, the song she sang this morning, tell me that old story. I'm thankful for the old story. Thank you for old time religion. Thank you for the Bible. But today, those things are outdated. In our world's eyes anyway, they're outdated. That's just old-fashioned preacher. That's from history. Don't worry about that no more. This world today is different. The world is different. I'm here to remind you, God is not different. The world may have changed. God has not changed. God's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's still the same God he was before. He's still the same God today. He's still the same God that Adam and Eve in the garden. He's still the same God today he was then. He's still the same God that destroyed the world and saved Noah's family. He's still the same God today. He's still the same God that showed grace and mercy to Israel even when they didn't deserve it. He's still the same God that was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years and died on the cross for my sins. He was just as much God today as he was then. He's still the same God that was there to feed the 5,000. He's still the same God that there attended the funeral of the sparrow. We read about that in the scriptures. He's still the same God that cares for man, cares for me. He's still the same God that men of old, great men of renown, men of history, we have worshipped and stood for. He's still the same today he was then. Amen. The only thing that has changed is us. Jeremiah says, ask for the old past, and they say, we will not hearken. We don't want it. You can have it. We're done with that. That's old-fashioned. We hear that a lot nowadays. The only thing that has changed from these old paths is the church. So to be honest with you, I don't care if it's old-fashioned. I don't care if it's outdated. Give me that old-time religion, the old paths. I don't care if it makes me popular or not. I just want to be right in God's eyes, whether I'm wrong in the world's eyes or not. It's beside the point. Right in God's eyes. James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be close to him. Be as close to him as I can be. With the Lord's help, I'll give you just a real simple message here on that old-time religion, what that is and what I'm talking about. What is it? What is it I'm wanting? It's simple. It's not complicated. But it's overlooked by churches in our day almost every day. Nowadays, most churches are more interested in the numbers of people coming or the numbers of dollars in the offering plate. Numbers are one thing, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think God is in the numbers. If God was in the numbers, that would make the NFL a holy institution. They got plenty of numbers, plenty of people, plenty of money. It's far from that. I don't think God's in the numbers. I don't think that's the case. I don't believe he bases the successfulness of our church on our numbers. I believe it's much more personal, much more close to home. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It's a lot more closer to home than the numbers we have on the wall. What does the Bible have to say about this old-time past that Jeremiah's talking about? What does the Bible have to say about it? It's old-time religion. What I'm talking about tonight is a no-so religion. I'm going to give you just, I think it's 4 points here. Number one, it's a no-so religion. We can know that we know that we know that we are saved and where we're going to go when we die. We can know that for 100%. We can be 100% sure what's going to happen. How can I say that? Number one, we can know because of God's word. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. There's no question. In these two verses, this is a statement, this is a promise. The scripture says, you do this, and God will do this. You confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. Raised Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what any other person says. It doesn't matter what other religions come up with excuses, things you got to do. It doesn't matter what so-and-so says you have to accomplish to get to heaven in order to be saved. The Word of God makes it plain and clear, so there ought to be no confusion. Any man that confesses this and he believes that God can forgive him, he believes it and he confesses it and believes Christ raised him from the dead and believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no other questions. Christ died for all men. He believes that he can be saved. Every man on earth can be saved. Whether they accept him or not is up to them personally. Following those verses right there, it says Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every whosoever has the opportunity. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Love the world. What is old time religion? First off, it's a no-so religion. We can know that we're going to go to heaven when we die. We can be sure of it. Because the Bible gives plain, basic instructions to follow. It's not complicated. No man's opinions need to be involved. What the Bible says is what I believe. I don't need some commentary to tell me what these verses mean here. It's very simple and plain. Well, preacher, you're just confused. I'm not confused. The Bible makes it plain. By God's grace, I'll never waver on that. Stand on that for forever. I'm going to stand on God's words. We can know that we know because of the Word of God. We can know that we know because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. You get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You won't ever have to wonder if you're saved or not. And don't get me wrong, Satan will do all he can to make you doubt. He'll put doubts in your mind. Everybody has doubts from time to time. Don't misunderstand me here. But the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit will start poking and prodding you and directing you the way you ought to go. It'll start correcting you. You do wrong, the Holy Spirit will tug on those heartstrings. If he's inside of you, he's going to direct you in the right way to go. We can know that we know we're saved because not only by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Be a witness to it. Old-time religion is a no-so religion. No more questions. Old-time religion is a separate religion. What does that mean? Aren't we supposed to go out in the world and preach the gospel? How do we be separate and do that? Yes, we are supposed to do that. You can be a witness without sinning in the process. That'd be like me saying, I'm going to go take up drinking so I can witness to the people at the bar on Saturday night. That doesn't make any sense. That's a lot of people's thinking now. Maybe not the drinking part, but a lot of people's thinking nowadays. That's not going to work. It's a separate religion. What do we be separate from? Number one, from worldly friends. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. You ought to be separate from the things of the world, from the sin of the world. Touch not the unclean thing, it says. People ought to be able to tell you're different. I'll see something different in your spirit. I'll see something different in your attitude. I'll see different in your friendships, in your speech, in your walk. I had a situation the other week, this past week. I worked for hours trying to get this machine put back together for a guy, and he was there with me the whole time, and it got late, and I needed to get some different things. I couldn't finish it that night. Put me back tomorrow. But he's with me all the time out there in the rain and the mud, and he said, man, this is enough to make a preacher want to cuss. And I smirked and looked over at him and said, no, sir, not yet. Not quite. He was surprised. I had an opportunity there to either show him I was different or completely ruin my testimony for the rest of this man's life. Trust me, my flesh wanted me to want to set the machine on fire, to be honest with you. I'm tired of it. You have to be on guard. You ought to be separate. You ought to be different than everybody else. You ought to look different. You ought to talk different. You ought to be different. You ought to be swear to be separate. You're different from this world. You're separate from worldly places. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We ought to be separate from worldly places. We ought not go to the same places. We ought not love the same things. We ought not have to love the same place we used to have. That verse 15 there, it's probably one of the most unfollowed verses in the Bible. And by good church-going people, usually. Verse 15, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. We have a lot of world-loving Christians. It's okay to enjoy things in life. Don't get me wrong. God wants us to have joy. When those things become a love and that love begins to supersede the work of Christ, that's when it becomes a problem. My dad has told me a story many times of a guy that used to teach Sunday school at the church they were at before. And this man, he loved fishing. You can relate to that here. He loved to fish. He went and he bought a boat and it started to become a hindrance to him doing the work of the Lord on Saturdays instead of going to visitation or studying Sunday school, unless he wanted to be fishing. You enjoy doing that. Because of his investment, he'd rather be doing those things. He got to the point he vowed to the Lord to not ever let it happen. Again, he went and sold his boat and quit fishing, sold his fishing rod, sold everything. Quit fishing. Now, there's nothing wrong with fishing. I enjoy fishing like everybody else does. Don't get me wrong. We use fishing to supply food. I enjoy eating the fish. But anything that comes between you and the Lord is a sin. And anything in the world that you love more than the work of the Lord is a sin. You love the world, it's not of God. You got to be careful. Simple things, common things, innocent things like fishing can become a problem. The love of the world, you got to be careful. Or be separate from those things. Separate from loving the world. Separate from worldly actions. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Not only stay away from evil things and places, don't even look like you're doing wrong, is what Thessalonians says. You know those sparkling grape juice bottles look like champagne bottles. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that up here or not. That's what it looks like. All it is grape juice. Nothing wrong with the juice, just grape juice. But I refuse to buy those bottles because you walk out of the store, it looks like you're carrying alcohol and you look like you're carrying wine in your hands. I refuse to buy it. I don't want somebody driving past to see the preacher carrying what looks like wine bottles to his car. What is that? It's appearance of evil. You may think I'm crazy, and that's okay. I know it's just juice. We ought not even come close to looking like we're doing anything wrong. Abstain from the appearance of sin. Stay as far away from wrong as you can. Stay as right with the Lord as you can. Not only the evil itself, just don't even look like you're doing anything wrong. You ought to be that separate. Now, pastor gave me some advice. Not ever be alone especially as a pastor, not ever be alone with a lady in the church. Not you're going to do anything wrong. Guard your testimony. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Guard yourself. You got to be careful. You got to be separate. Old-term religion is a separate religion. Old-term religion is a powerful religion. It's only no-so religion, separate religion. It's a powerful one. It's powerful enough to change a life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This old-time religion is powerful enough to change your life. It can take an old drunkard and get saved, and God can turn his life around and use him for the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the changing power of salvation? It can change you. That's why it's called being born again. You can be born and make you new in Christ. Are you changed today? If not, you might want to check up. You ought to be different than you were before. See, it's a powerful religion. Power enough to change. It's power enough to keep you. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are kept by the power of God. Aren't you thankful that once you're saved, you're kept by the power of God? Yes, we don't have to worry about it. Once saved, always saved. Yes, we can sin after we're saved. And yes, we can do wrong and we have to ask forgiveness, get those things right. That sin after salvation, thankfully, does not separate us from salvation. Only hinders close fellowship. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Simple illustration, my kids. Once my children are born into my family, they're always my children. I can't get rid of them. Even if I kill them, they're still my children. Don't take that off the recording, Kevin. They're always my children. They may do wrong, and it may cause a hindrance in the family. I may have to sit them down and correct them. It may cause consequences. They're always my children. I'm thankful when we're born into the family of God. There is no paperwork that can get. There's nothing to go wrong. Nothing can go away. We're always his children. We will forever, for the rest of our lives, for eternity, be his children. Aren't you thankful for that? Old-term religion has power enough to save us, power enough to change us, power enough to keep us for eternity. Number four, lastly, it's a necessary religion. Somebody say, that's all well and good for you, preacher. That's just not my thing. Some folks may have different beliefs. Some different beliefs about things are okay, but as long as it's not doctrinal. But anyway, this old-time religion, this is not just for me. This old-time religion is not only a no-sir religion and a separate religion, a powerful religion, it's a necessary religion. Listen, I'm going somewhere. Listen to me. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other way to get to heaven. There's only one way. We may have our own opinions on cars. Some like Toyota, some like Fords, and some need to get right with God, and they like Chevys. I don't understand that. When it boils down to it, 90% of the time, 60% of the time for those that drive Chevys, the car will get you there. Most of the time, it'll get you there. You can depend on it to get you there. Usually all those different vehicles will get you where you need to go. We all may have our own different opinions of what we drive. We all get there, usually. Salvation is not that way. There is one Jesus, there is one God, and there is one way to heaven. If you try to debate that, you're wrong. I'm not going to argue with you on it because you're wrong. There's no other option. He is the only way to heaven. Old-time religion is a necessary religion. What does the Bible say about salvation? It says it is necessary if you want to go to heaven. You must believe what the Bible says if you want to get there. Not what I say, not what some book from the past, from history says. You must believe what the Scripture says if you want to spend eternity in heaven. You must follow the instructions set forth in the Bible if you want to be saved. It's plain and simple. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You may not agree with everything I say, but you don't agree with that. You're not arguing with me, you're arguing with the Scriptures. Old-time religion is necessary for a new birth. John 3:3, Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You want to see heaven one day, you must be born again. Anybody here tonight has not been born again. If you have not trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, like this verse read over earlier in Romans chapter 9, if you've not done that, you will not go to heaven. You might listen to sermon audio. If you listen to me say this, if you've not accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you die right now before you do that, you will spend eternity in hell. There is no other option. There is no other choice. You say, that's harsh, preacher. It's the truth. Amen. There is no other options. We don't have a menu to choose from. I want to do it this way. I want to do it. Burger King, have it your own way. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Your loved ones can't buy candles and light them and get you into heaven. According to the Bible we hold dear, God's word, God said, Jesus said here in John 3:3, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, the only Savior, said, unless you believe it, you're not going to get there. If this is old-fashioned or outdated, then so be it. It's still the truth. And by God's grace, I'll hold on to it till the day I die. Amen. Old-time religion is necessary for new birth. You want to go to heaven? Believe what the Bible says. Follow it. Believe on Him. Repent. Ask Him to save you. Plain and simple. You can't do it. I can't do it. You're going to have to ask Him to do it for you. We can't do it on our own to save you. If you simply call Him and ask Him to forgive you, trust Him, saving work on Calvary, you can be saved today. We see that it's necessary for the confession of sins. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You walk in the light, you follow His light, you trust in Him. The blood of someone cleanses you from all, it'll wipe it away, clean it away, be gone for forever. It's necessary to be cleansed from their sin. Aren't you thankful that He's willing to do that for us? Can't do it on our own. There's not one of us here that deserve anything other than death, hell, and the grave. None of us deserve anything other than that. That's what we deserve for our sin. God chose to show mercy and offer grace to help in a time of need. He's offered us freely, offered us salvation. No price attached. It's ours. We only ask Him to forgive us, to cleanse us, He'll do it. I don't know about you, but I believe old-time religion still works. It's the way it was when I got saved. Every person I've seen get saved, it's the way it worked for them. It's the only way salvation works, what the Bible says. Old-time religion, it's no religion at all. We are Baptist by doctrine. We don't get saved when we become Baptist. We're not a Baptist brighter. We get saved when we believe what this book says is the way of salvation. You get saved when you believe in Jesus Christ, ask Him to save you. Give me the old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for done for us. Thank You for saving me, Lord, and cleansing my sins. Lord, I pray at this church tonight. Lord, I pray us to go on for You and do more for You. Lord, I pray You guard us and protect us and watch over us this week. In Jesus' name.